Hi, my name is Nancy G, and I'm from Arlington. I'm a grateful recovering food addict.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I came into Overeaters Anonymous April 14th, 1990. And when I came in, I was blown away with what I saw. Young men and women talking about eating out of the garbage, lying to the spouses of the children about where they were. You know, I had to work late, or I was at a meeting or a friend's house, but they were really binging or throwing up. And I was like, oh my God. And I didn't get struck abstinence. I came into resilience because of my past of really unhealthy eating. This disease came to me naturally. My father's an alcoholic, and my mother had a food problem as well. And I was plagued with having my body weight be over than what I wanted, but also like the mental part of this disease. Like my normal thoughts were like of suicide. Like on a daily basis, I'd say, you woke up again? I remember getting on my knees at home and at work sometimes. I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, and I would say, God, make me dead. I'm sick of living. I'm sick of living on this earth. And, like, I want to cease to exist. And one time, I was out of my mind when I was eating. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so scared it was going to happen. I was like, I got on my knees. I said, devil, let me help. Yours, take me. I was just like, and then I got up. I did that at work. I was just like, I was beside myself. I was like, I couldn't stop eating. Binging, starving, watching TV, you know, watching the ads of weight loss. And I remember calling a 1-800 number. I forgot what the ad was called. And Dream Away? Yeah, it's called Dream Away. So I ordered this product, and I didn't even know what it was, but I wanted to be thin. And it said it was going to make me thin, and I took it. And it didn't make me thin. 1999, whatever it was. And I swear, this disease, if I could have sold my soul, I would have. I mean, that's a sick part of this disease, you know? I wanted a thin body. It doesn't matter that I was insane, but I just wanted a thin body. And another extreme I took was I took a whole box, and I'm exaggerating, I took whatever, 24 pills of laxatives. I was living at home at the time, and I'm sorry, the entire life. And then, of course, like my heart was like beating out of my chest. I went to the bathroom, and I was puking from both sides. And, you know, in between that, I'm laying on the bathroom floor, hoping and praying. No one's home, so I'm like, I hope I don't die. You know, I just wish this pain would go away because I just feel so horrible about myself. Okay, with that little side problem that's going on in my life, I'm not eating healthily. But, like, I don't have friends. You know, when I was a teenager and growing up, you know, I talked to the kids at school, but, like, once in a while we'd go out to the movies or whatever. And, you know, they'd call me up, hey, Nancy, you want to go out? No, I don't want to go out. Because I felt insecure. I felt I couldn't really hold on a conversation. I was too sad. I was too miserable. I was too self-absorbed within my own self. And, you know, after a while, you know, you keep on calling someone, they're not going to, you know, call back. After a while, they're like, she doesn't like me or she doesn't want to go out with me. And then the phone call stops. Like, that's my best. This is how I am when I'm not in overzone, when I don't have a plan of action for myself. And, you know, for years, I had some outside interests. For non-profit organizations, and if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. You know, I have a beginning and an end, and I followed it. But you know, because that was only a short-term plan. You know, they wanted a commitment, and I did it. But, you know, when it came to the food, I just struggled and struggled and struggled. And I didn't read that much when I was younger and was eating. I didn't have the attention span, and nothing really interested me. I just watched TV and stayed in, and occasionally had boyfriends. And I was just a sad soul. So one time I was with my fiance. We were in a bookstore, and I regret to say I don't have that book. It was Take It Off and Keep It Off and the Yo-Yo Diet. And of course I took it off, Take It Off and Keep It Off, and it was by Always Anonymous. And I came home and I read it, and my mother called the 800 number, and our first meeting was Saturday morning at Lawrence Memorial, 10 a.m., which that meeting is no longer there, but, you know, that just opened my eyes. And I didn't get, like, struck out, and like, oh, my God, like, I'm cured, and, like, you know, there's help for me. I definitely felt that there was help, but I still had a lot more pain and research to do, unfortunately, because I've got to take care, and it takes me quite a long time to finally, you know, get it. And so I came in when I was 20 years old, and I came in April. And then my mother got diagnosed with cancer in July of that same year, and then she died in October. October. And I can't even convey or even talk about the volumes of love that I got. I mean, I came in April, and people were at the funeral home with me in October. People came to the hospital not knowing me, not knowing my face, not have talked to me before. This one woman, never forget her for my life. I talked to her for an hour and a half, and then she came to the hospital and was there like for another like 2 hours. Like I didn't, maybe like there are functioning addicts out there, but I wasn't one of them. And so I was just overcome by the love. And I stayed absent for a while, but I wasn't able to maintain it because I didn't feel like I had a disease. I felt like I had a food problem. And so I got abstinent. She died in October, and I got abstinent in December. And I was abstinent for 2.5 years. And for the first time in my life, I had a thin body, like I had a weight. I had a belt. I had a midriff shirt. I wore a bathing suit. Guys were looking at me. I was getting attention from both men and women. You know, they wanted to hang out with me, and I was just like blown away. And so I thought, and then after a while, my tools, you know, the things that we do, the make phone calls, the meetings and AWOLs and writing and literature and getting on your knees, and you know, that was kind of slowly falling, and I was making telephone calls to, you know, 2 o'clock, is that when we're meeting? And I'll never forget it. You know, the day I picked up, I was at work, and it was a really, you know, traumatic experience. Like, we had a new boss, and I'm absent 2.5 years. But the mind is starting to go now. So the mind is for myself, the first to go when you start with those negative thoughts, and then you start, you know, being on that bandwagon. It's just, you know, one thing leads to another. So, you know, we had a meeting, and he brought in D&Ds, and, you know, so the meeting was done, and after we went back to our desks, and he's like, you know, not me, but he asked someone else to pass them around. And I bring my lunch every single day. And my coworker comes to me, and she's like, do you want one? Actually, it was a guy. And I said, yes. I still remember this. Like, I'm seeing in my mind. I put the product on the right-hand corner of the desk, and it just sat there. I said, Nancy. I talked to myself. I'm like, what are you doing with that on your desk? You don't eat it. So I said, I have been weighing and measuring. I'm abstinent. I'm young. It's been out of my body for a couple of years now. I should be all set. Wrong. But I didn't know that because I was naive and innocent to the disease of destruction and progressiveness. And I ate it. And I'm not even lying. I had a surge of sugar in my body that went from my toes to my head. And, you know, another brilliant move I made was to call my sponsor. Well, she was at work. I called her on the home phone. We didn't have cell phones back then. And I said, I don't know. I broke my abstinence. I'm not going to be calling you anymore. And, you know, thanks for your help. Click. I'm really doing good. And so I went to Wednesday Night Chelsea. You know, that was when it was a real happening place to go. You know, if you weren't at Chelsea at 6:45, you weren't getting a seat. You were, like, sitting in the back, standing, I should say. It was standing room only. And I broke my abstinence, what month? June? I was 24. And I didn't get it back until I was 31. 31? Yes. I blew my 20s on the food. And a few times I went to Chelsea, and in 2 months, let's get how much I weighed when I was thin. I don't know, but I gained like 30 pounds in 3 months. By June and then by August, I couldn't fit into my clothes anymore. And, I remember like coming in and like you were like right there. And I unbuttoned my jacket and like there was crumbs on my chest. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God. You know, I wanted to help myself, but I have crumbs on my chest. And so I was struggling. And I remember I left that meeting on Washington Street. There's a corner store. And I went to go get some food. And I ate it on the way, and then I came back. And so I did that for 6 years. I ate, and I ate, and I ate, and I came back. I never saw coming to meetings, I think for a week. But, you know, I continued to struggle. And I was pissed off because you had abstinence and I didn't anymore. And I had the 911, you know, people rallying around me, calling me and coming over and you can do it. And I was just in the food frenzy of the disease. I don't know. I was unwilling. Even though I'd come to meetings, I couldn't get it quite yet until I was just sick and tired. I was like, I'm 31. I'm 150 pounds. I've been in the program since I was 20 years old. You don't have a good job. You don't have a good boyfriend. You don't travel. You had good friends, but you lost them through this addiction. You don't have any money in the bank. Like, what are you doing for yourself, Nancy? So I said to myself, you're fired. You're screwed. I'm sick of listening to you. And you're getting yourself nowhere. And so someone called me and said, you know, how you doing? And I said, I'm doing lousy. And so at that day, I said that I would commit my food. And so I have 4 years and 4 months of abstinence. And I weigh and measure my food 3 times a day. I have nothing in between, no flour, no sugar. Is it easy sometimes? No. But I just do it anyway because my past is suicide thoughts and continuous eating. Like, I get an A in that. I do lousy living well. What I don't know how to do is living the right way well. And so it's a practice. It's a daily practice. I want to be better than what I was yesterday. And I feel a strong, confident woman today. I like myself. I like myself today. And that's all because I weigh and measure my food. If I pick up one string bean, I hate myself. You screwed up. There's just no excuses. I have endless phone lists. I have endless amounts of people to be calling. Thank you, God, that I know enough. It's like life already showed me, you know, my mother's on the ground, and no amount of food is going to bring her back. And so with that first life experience, change and altered my life. I feel like I want to be in the casket when she died. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think that I could live without her. But, like, you know, through this program, I can. And so, and with the help of God and AWOLS, and living this way, and being with these people, I'm surrounded by love. And, you know, like someone else just said, it's like I just keep on putting one foot in front of the other. And I have a sponsor. She's the boss. I don't want to make any food decisions. I still run things by her. And I'm in a normal, healthy weight. I go to committed meetings. I call my sponsor twice a week. I have sponsees. It's a chain. One link to another. I don't want to do this by myself. I really love this program. I never, ever want to not be in it. I will never not want to be in it because I don't want to go back to suicide thoughts. I don't want to have to make a decision about food. I know that I can't do it. And that is an awesomeness freeing feeling. I am a food addict, and I can't on a regular ongoing basis not weigh and measure my food because, I don't know, this row could look like 4 ounces to me on any given day. And so, like, right, as I think, I will do. So if I think bad thoughts, I will do bad thoughts. And if I have, you know, I'm like having a good day, or whatever that may be, and like, you know, oh, you know, that's your response. You know, this. You know, they say 4 ounces is the palm of your hand. Anything over that, you know, and like, of course. Like, if I'm having a bad, crappy day, I had a, you know, trouble time at work, I don't want this size. I want a bigger size. And so this is what gives me parameters. I know what exactly I'm supposed to have. And I love routine. Because I am an undisciplined person that likes routine. I get up in the morning, I get on my knees, I know I'm going to bring my breakfast and lunch to work, I know I'm going to have an afternoon meal when I go home, or if I can't go home, I bring it with, so I have 3 meals in my bag. What else? Practice an attitude of gratitude. There's just so many blessings in my life. I'm going to co-lead an AWOL, and that's like, for someone that struggled for so long, it's like, now I've got a couple of years of absence, and I want to give experience, strength, and hope to someone else, like I am doing right now. It's like, all I can say, if you're hurting, if you're struggling, I swear to God, if you try to just weigh and measure your food, and put your feelings aside and just do it. They said that if you don't like it in 30 days, simply don't do it. Rip up the phone list, throw them away, and you're simply free to go. Like, there's no police that says, oh, I'm going to follow so-and-so around Stop and Shop, see what she buys. Like, we have families today. And so we can't always have an afternoon cut. And that's okay, because I know what my motives are. And I can't be wondering if I see someone else in the grocery store, it's like, fucking tell me, keep my eyes on my own plate, because not everyone has the same abstinence. As long as you're not killing yourself with food, hey, I'm not going to say whatever is right or wrong to you, because I don't want someone to do that for me. I have acceptance for people. And keep on making those phone calls. Keep on showing up at meetings, because if you're tired and you don't feel like it, someone else could feel tired and they don't feel like it, then, you know, someone comes to the meeting, no one's going to be there because we felt tired and we didn't feel like going. Because I cannot do this without you. I cannot, nor do I want to. Like, this is a fellowship. I'm forever grateful for Bill W. and Dr. Bob. Like, this is, you know, this was their mission. You know, to have a room full of people helping one another. And so I get down on my knees and I say, thank you, God, for giving me a half a day for what I cannot do for myself still. And thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you.